Donovan Bailey is, of course, a sprinting legend, and he joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Donovan, thanks so much for joining us. I've got to ask you, as a competitor, what went through your mind when you heard that Andre had suffered the hamstring injury and would not be able to race Bolt this weekend?
Yeah, morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me on. Listen, I mean, I was disappointed. I was disappointed for him, you know, because I've been there before, where you know you're really focused on an event, and then you have an injury. The unfortunate thing about sport, especially in track and field, where everything matters, is that not only do you have to be blessed with immense talent, surrounded by a great support system and fantastic coaching, but you also have to be lucky sometimes. And the unfortunate thing is that the timing of the injury, it's just bad, and just bad for him, because I'm very certain that he wants to compete against the rest of the world on the biggest stage. But I was very disappointed. But also another thing, though, when I look at it and I realize that Andre got hurt in practice, there's one thing that still resonates, and the fact is that he's extremely focused. He had been preparing and working very hard, mm-hmm. and understood the task that was at hand. And I'm very certain that this injury is going to motivate him to come back even better next year. So, you know, there's definitely some good things ahead for him, ahead.
You know, there's no such thing as a good injury if you're an athlete. But I would think, I don't know, I'm trying to, and I can only imagine, I mean, I can't even imagine sprinting. But, man, a hamstring, you know, I've pulled a hamstring, and just walking around is difficult.
Right.
What does Andre have to be careful about as he rehabilitates from this injury, Donovan?
Well, I mean, he's wrapped it up for the season. Well, first of all, you said, first, let me address the good and bad injury. Mm-hmm. I blew my Achilles. That's the worst injury you can have, mm-hmm. right? As an athlete, as a person, anything, because you really can't do much.
Yeah.
So if he's going to have an injury, I've had hamstring issues, and every single sprinter who pushes their body is going to have a hamstring injury. Okay. A hamstring injury occurs. You have to understand that every single day, every race, you tear muscles, you tear micro muscles, and the physio and your therapist, the therapist that you have, is the one that helps you heal, and also with ice and with rest. If there's such a thing as a good injury, then this would be a good injury, because he'll be recovered and back to his normal fall scheduled training in October. And I don't know if he's going to run indoors or not, but he'll be 1,000% healed and functional and be back. So this is a good injury to have.
Yeah. This might be kind of a difficult question, but as a competitor, you'd be the perfect person to ask. Let's say that Andre Degrasse goes on and, I don't know, next year, 2 years down the road, whatever, wins the world championship, wins an Olympic gold medal, maybe even sets a world record in doing that. Is it going to take a little bit away because he didn't do it against Bolt? I know that kind of seems unfair, and my God, the guy's, what, 22 years old? But is it going to take a little bit away, do you think? Or is that the type of record, if you're the fastest man in the world, you're the fastest man in the world. you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, listen, it's a fair question, and it's a very fair question. Number one, no. If Andre runs whatever, okay, every single day that we compete, you compete against the clock. That's the bottom line, to break a world record. And also, titles, every single person goes for that title. So whatever titles Andre, that he acquires on his journey, it's him. And it does not matter who he races against or not. Mm-hmm. I think everyone's got to understand. Usain is retiring at the end of the games here in London. And he... all he has to do is win. Like, he doesn't have this, he doesn't have to run 9.57 to break his world record.
Right.
He can run 11 seconds and win. All he has to do is make sure that he essentially controls the field meaning that, you know, who is going to panic in the middle of the field or not. And all he's going to do is run past them and dip at the line. I mean, that's it. Mm-hmm. And mind you, his legend is cemented anyways. I mean, just like mine is, and, you know, as world champion, Olympic champion, and world record holder, there's few of us that have those three titles. And I'm hoping that, this is something that Andre aspires, you know, to be a world champion, Olympic champion, and world record holder. That is what cements your legend status in the sport.
Now, this hasn't been talked about a great deal, but this also has implications clearly for Canada's the 4x1 relay team. I want to ask you, as someone who knows sprinting in this country, I don't know if you can ever replace Andre DeGrasse, but what does the Canadian team have to do now that it doesn't have him?
Well, let me answer that. First of all, you cannot replace Andre DeGrasse.
Right.
Just like you could not replace me when I was competing. Mm-hmm. You just don't. Because not only is it that you're having, the fastest person on your team off the track, but you're also having a leader and also someone that if by Andre just being on the track, it instills confidence in the rest of his teammates. Do we have enough speed to get us to the finals and possibly go for a medal? Yes, we do. I mean, we do that. But, you know, I don't know the mindset of the athletes. I do know that Glenn Roy will have these guys prepared as possible, as humanly possible, to get on the track and compete. But it definitely will be tough without seeing Andre on the field for his teammates.
Yeah, and that kind of leads to the next question about Usain Bolt. Who do you think now is his toughest competition? Well, I'll ask you this: would Andre have been his toughest competition? And now that he isn't there, you know, a lot of people are talking about Christian Coleman, the sprinter from Tennessee. Who do you see as being Usain Bolt's toughest competition in the 100 meters?
Well, you know, I still think I think Usain is Usain's toughest competition, really.
Mm-hmm.
No, I do. I think that the problem is that the athletes that are remaining, so Justin Gatlin has been there. We've got Christian Coleman. And, we had Andre. And there might be another player, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they have to run. They have to run perfect races. They have to run perfect races in order to win. And Usain really just has to, like I said, have a decent start, and have a decent start, and at 80 make his move. I mean, mm-hmm. He's got the biggest, longest strides. You know, so he's still got the biggest top speed.
How do you think Usain will approach this race? I mean, you've known him, you've spent time around him. This is, he's saying, his last race. How do you think he's going to approach this?
Well, listen, Usain's a competitor. You know, mm-hmm. when you are the champion, you only approach things one way. He wants to win, and he wants to win going out. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. And I'm very certain he's preparing for this race as good as he's prepared for his first race in Beijing. I'm very certain that he's thinking, hey, listen, I can get this done, and I can blow these guys away, and I can show these kids that I'm still the boss. So if I decide I'm not going to retire, then let them know that I'm still the man.
You say if I decide that I don't retire, can you see him coming back?
No.
No? You think this is it? Hey?
I mean, that's something. I mean, we talked about that. Yeah. I retired once, and I was. I decided I was not going to go back. And you know, I mean, sometimes you have athletes who retired and basically are not satisfied. I mean, when I decided I was going to hang it up, it was the right place. I thought that Edmonton was the right place for me to retire. I was coming off a major injury, wasn't feeling very well, retiring at home was the greatest thing for me. Mm-hmm. And Usain right now, at his age and at his stature in the sport, London is as close to home as he's gonna get. You know, so this is the perfect place for him to walk off. I mean, I don't know. He's got several things happening, so I don't know in business wise what he's going to do. But London is as close to home as close to Kingston, with the highest, immense Caribbean population in England, mm-hmm. and also the extremely educated track and field follow and massive track and field following London. So London is as close to home as Usain's going to get. So basically this is retiring at home for him as it was for me retiring in Edmonton.
Where does sprinting go after Usain Bolt? He's been such a presence. He's been the face of the sport. Luckily he's managed to stay unsullied. You know, I've often said, Donovan, I know we've talked about this, but to me, the one athlete, the sport couldn't handle having Usain Bolt if it were to come out and find that he was at some point had been cheating or something like that. I think it would be maybe the most awful story anybody's had to write as a sports writer. But where does sprinting go after him?
Well, listen, sprinting is going to go exactly where it's gone since Carl Lewis retired. Linford Christie retired. I retired. Usain retired. One, what we're going to do is what you have to understand is that even the names I just mentioned of the 100 meter champions, previous Olympic and world 100 meter champions, is that we've all stayed close to the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And whether I'm just doing media and I do appearances and stuff and do some work with the IOC and the IAAF, Usain is going to do the same thing. The only thing now he's the newest and biggest star that's done legendary things on the track. So I'm very certain when I spoke to Seb Coe last year, they're definitely going to have they'll create some for him, like just mm-hmm. to keep him there. But we also have to understand that in every single sport there's transitions. It's like celebrating, Connor McDavid now and Gretzky and Mario were the guys before. There's no athlete that's ever going to be bigger than the actual sport. And what we have to do is, one, celebrate the incredible talent of the legends and the Hall of Famers that were in front of us, but also embrace the young talent. And that's why it is that, as a missed opportunity, this is why I'm a little disappointed for Andre. But, saying that, he'll motivate himself to come back next year. And it's in London, we will definitely see the changing of the guard. Wade Van Niekerk from South Africa, mm-hmm. the 400 meter world record holder, broke Michael Johnson's 25 year world record last year. He was favored to run the 200. And I have to tell you, Jeff, I was more interested in Andre and Wade Van Niekerk running the 200. Than I was watching him against Usain, because Usain, there's nothing that can happen to him in London that will sully his reputation and his status. And what we have to do is essentially watch the new stars coming up now. So mm-hmm. Wade versus Andre in the 200 was, for me, the biggest race. Obviously, the most interesting race is the 100 meters. But I really think that, I think that Usain will win that. I definitely think that the all of the other athletes in the 100 meters, they have to run perfect races. And Usain, even at this stage, can make a mistake and still beat him.